At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The runoff elections yesterday came just 4 days after the shootings that killed 10 at Santa Fe High School near Houston. And both of the major party candidates for governor have their sights trained on guns. Today, the incumbent Republican, Greg Abbott, held the second of a 3-day roundtable on the topic in Austin. Today's focus was on gun regulations and gun rights. Abbott pointed out some common ground.
One I think everybody agrees upon is the necessity of safe storage of guns and strategies to promote the safe storage of guns.
He said both sides also agree about monitoring social media to look for early warning signs of a potential school shooting and using apps that let students report suspicious activity. The Democrat who earned the right to face Abbott this fall is former Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez. She talked recently about her approach to guns with KXAS-TV.
We have to look at the types of people that are being able to buy the weapons. We should be able to say to some folks, no, you cannot get that.
Valdez won the only statewide race in yesterday's runoffs. Democrats, in fact, collected most of the headlines in Texas. Former NFL player Colin Allred was one. He easily earned the chance to take on Congressman Pete Sessions. There was also a Republican congressional runoff in North Texas that turned heads across the country, the race to replace Jeb Hensarling. Politico reporter Daniel Strauss talked about why that contest was significant today with Tanzina Vega, host of the public radio program The Takeaway.
We're seeing a group of Republicans come in who are closely aligned with a very, very specific slice of the GOP, a slice that focuses on lower taxes. And this is comes at a time when there are 6 members of the Texas congressional delegation who are Republicans who are resigning or retiring. Ted Poe, Jeb Hensarling, Lamar Smith, Blake Farenthold. These are big names among congressional Republicans and Texas Republicans. And finally, we also saw Bunny Pounds, the candidate endorsed by Vice President Mike Pence, failing to cross the finish line, which is pretty significant because Pence is usually the endorsement that everyone in the party really wants to get. But Pounds was defeated by State Rep Lance Gooden, and that was by a pretty narrow margin. But it does prove that Pence is not the silver bullet for candidates who want Trump administration support but are wary of even getting support from the president himself.
That was political reporter Daniel Strauss talking party politics on The Takeaway. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to an author about a different type of party, the kind with decorations, drinks, and food. Her name's Priya Parker, and she worries that something's gone wrong with the way we get together.
Once we kind of have a format, we go on autopilot. So you think board meeting and kind of this image of, you know, mahogany tables all in a square with, you know, coffee on the, you know, upper right-hand corner, or you think birthday party and you think pointy hats and candles and a cake. And because we have specific forms attributed to, you know, specific categories of gathering, we stop to actually ask, what is the purpose of this? For the last multiple decades, we've outsourced our kind of wisdom and guidance around gatherings to people who are experts in food, recipes, chefs, flowers, the kind of the things of gathering, the kind of Martha Stewart style of gathering where you kind of think, okay, I have to have the right fish knives or I have to have the right PowerPoint training to have the right font. And in part because we've been putting the wrong emphasis on things, we stop to actually ask about what is the function of the gathering, and we kind of skip to form.
Priya Parker is the author of The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters. This episode of Think Rears tonight at 10, and you could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. NPR's Tom Goldman profiled the new CEO of the Dallas Mavericks, Cynthia Marshall, yesterday on Morning Edition. Tonight, we revisit a conversation that the team's owner, Mark Cuban, had on the KERA-TV program CEO. He talked about his newly hired CEO, about his role in TV Shark Tank, and about the idea of running for president. Lee Colum hosts the program CEO. She talked with Cuban soon after an expose that revealed a Mavericks front office culture that was hostile to women.
Sports Illustrated published a story saying that some women at the Mavericks said they were working in an inhospitable environment, and they laid the blame on the CEO, Tadema Usri, who's been on this program. He has denied the charges, the allegations, and I just wondered, do you have anything to add at this point?
I can't really because the investigation is ongoing, but once we get all the facts, we'll be happy to communicate them. We're going to be absolutely transparent and not really hide anything. We needed to refine our culture, and bringing in Cynthia, she goes by Cynth Marshall, was a stroke of luck for us. She's incredible. She was head of human resources for AT&T, head of diversity. She was referred to us, and when we checked her references at AT&T, multiple people said that the day she left AT&T, that was a devastating day for them. And that's about as high praise that you can give somebody. Then she went to Dow, and she was consulting to change the culture there. She was doing this amazing project for Dow, and we reached out to her, and our timing was good because her contract there was coming to an end. And she convinced me that she should be the next CEO of the Dallas Mavericks. Obviously, we needed a change of culture, and there were things that we'd all do differently, but I think we're in good hands now. I'll still stay in charge of the basketball side, and she gets everything else. So I get to scream at Mavs games,
yeah.
And she gets to take us on the course that I think is going to make us not only a better organization with a much stronger culture, but also a template for other companies that experience the same challenges that we have. She says it every day, that she's looking forward to being very proud of what we've been able to accomplish and in helping other companies avoid or solve the same type of problems.
Moving to Shark Tank, you treat the entrepreneurs respectfully,
yes.
Even if you don't invest in their deal.
Right. Shark Tank's about the American dream. And I do the show because I want to send the message, particularly to young kids, that the American dream is alive and well. If you have an idea and you do your homework and you go for it, you try it, then anything is possible.
But you've done a number of deals, about 88 or more.
Yeah, it's
more
a lot.
By now.
Yeah, it's a lot.
More by
yeah.
now. About $20 million,
yep.
maybe more.
You've done your homework, yep.
Any kind of return? Are you making any money?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I just went through, once every 2 years or so, I'll go through and say, okay, how am I doing? I'm not up huge, but I'm up like 12% off of those deals. I'm not doing it primarily for the money. There's a lot of deals that I'll do because I think it's the right thing to do. I've got more than 50% of the companies are women-owned business. I think 20%, give or take, are minority-owned businesses. I've got veterans-owned businesses. So there's times when I'll look at a company and I'll say, if I was a silent investor, I probably wouldn't touch it, but I can help this company.
Last October, you said that if you were single,
right.
you would run for president. You're not yeah. single.
Nope.
You're married. You have three children.
Yep.
Then you said also that month that you would run as a Republican if you ran.
That was me just playing to the audience. It's never been my dream to be president. It's not like the ultimate goal that I've ever had, but context matters. And in this day and age, for better or worse, being famous means a lot more than it probably should. And it carries a lot of weight, a lot more weight with voters than it probably should. If the Democrats win in the midterms, there's no need for me because there'll be enough balance. If they don't, then I'm going to have a lot of serious thinking to do and a lot of soul searching with my wife and my kids. I think if it got to that point, I wouldn't be a traditional candidate, but not a non-traditional candidate in the way of somebody that's already there. I'd probably run as an independent simply because I think there's so much tribalism right now that people are even embarrassed by their own parties. I think people recognize that if we just keep on doing the same thing of Republicans versus Democrats, nothing's going to change and it could get worse. And if that brings the change that makes our democracy stronger, makes our country stronger, and I don't want to sound arrogant in doing that, but just not that it's me per se, but just having a strong independent candidate that I think can create change, that's something to be proud of. I'm far from perfect. There's a whole lot of warts, but I think, my heart's in the right place.
Days after that interview on KERA-TV, a sexual assault accusation against Mark Cuban from 2011 emerged, one he has repeatedly denied. No charges were filed, and the NBA said it was looking into the matter. You can watch the entire CEO interview at kera.org/CEO. For the evening, partly cloudy skies tonight. Should be a low around 73 later on. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 20% chance of storms, with high in the lower 90s. At 6:30, this is KERA News.